The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Number one, getting a grip on greater works. We're going to do that. Plus, you won't believe it, Jesus, he's not just doodling. And is the Holy Spirit in us, on us, or hanging out on Pluto?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics. You know, politics, that's blood-sucking insects. Never mind. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, which happened today. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. We have proven that. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, we're going to do our read in the next segment. That's my way to telling Wonder Julie, because we didn't talk before the show. Next segment, as I will tell you all the wonderful things that happened to me today. Have you ever gone through spiritual warfare? I know you have. So, yesterday was cold. I don't know if you know that or not. It was cold, right? I mean, it's cold, you know, not for Alaska, but, you know, for Texas, right? And so we parked the cars in the garage, and every time we have that happen, Noelle drives a bigger truck, and I drive a small little thingy. And so I put mine in the side manual side of the garage, and she has to come in on an angle, and that way she doesn't, you know, get in the car and turn into icicles. I don't know, it's kind of like a nice – we don't do it often, but when it's going to hail or something like that. So we did that. Everything's fine. I got ready to come down to the station today, and I had been going through spiritual warfare. And you think, well, how do you know if you're going through spiritual warfare? When everything that you're encountering isn't just going wrong, but it's distracting you from God, taking away from either your meditation, your devotional time, the things that you're concentrating on, not just little things, but 15 or 20 or 25 of them in a row. And I thought, I'm used to this. I've gone through the Christian walk, and a lot of people have gone through the Christian walk. We all get used to it. You just kind of recognize Satan doesn't like you. I mean, you. I don't care. If you named the name of Christ, Satan doesn't like you. You got an enemy. It's just kind of how that goes. And then you or myself, and in this case myself, do stupid things. And then, of course, you blame Satan because it's all this big warfare thing. So I backed out of my little space, opened up the garage manually, right? So manual open. I opened up the garage manually, got in the car, started to go back, right? And then I heard a and I'm like, uh-oh, that seems weird. The top of the garage door had slipped down 12 inches.
Uh-oh.
So I did not speak in a third tongue. I was very proud of myself. I thought about it, but I didn't. The little antenna thing on top of the car, K-rushed. K-gone. K-see ya. So I just thought, well, it's just the enemy trying to distract me. I'm not gonna let that go. And then so I placed a call into the place I bought the car, and they said that's an insurance issue, and because your deductible is so and so, you're probably gonna have to pay for it out of pocket,
yeah.
Right? And then the first guy I talked to said you're looking at about $800-900. I'm like,
ouch,
ouch. Then the next guy I talked to said you're looking at about $200-300. Ouch.
Yeah.
Then I went online and looked at the part, and it turns out to be it's $119.55, of which something I can do, because it's not that hard to put it on, and all that just to distract. And you think, well, how do you know that's warfare? What do you think goes on that takes place? It's all in what you and I and how we respond in it that defines how far the warfare goes. Bad things happen all the time. It's a sinful world, right? Adam and Eve said no, and so from that moment on, it's been like, uh-oh, duck. Right? So that's what's been going on. But when things like that happen, if you let it overwhelm you, the enemy is right there to try and encourage it to overwhelm you. Or you can let it go. So who's the first person I talk to after I talk to the Lord? Who's the first person I talk to? Do I go to? Where's my go-to person to kind of bring all the situation down? Who do you think the go-to person is?
Your wife.
That's right. The gift from the Lord. And she's like, all is good. The one line I don't like is it could have been worse. Because my response is always, well, it could have been better.
Yeah.
But it turns out it's fine and everything's fine. And it's all about some things that took place earlier, some people that really got blessed in the ministry. And I was just really blessed by that and just really sensing that the Lord is you know, getting ready to do some really cool things. But it doesn't mean it's all going to be easy. And in your walk, it doesn't guarantee, because you're a Christian, that everything is you walking on top of water, eating cheese, you know, relaxing in a chair, and everything's perfect, and Dallas wins every game they ever play. Doesn't work that way, does it? No. So we have to, as believers, not only be prepared about that, but also be willing to surrender, because the reality check is in 6 months. I won't even remember. 6 years, not a chance I'll remember. In 60 years, I really won't care, right? 60 years from now, I'll be hanging out with the Lord. It's just the way that we allow things to impact us and change us, and whether we let that situation, whether we take on a bad spirit, a bad attitude, or we just go, you know what? I'm just moving on. Moving on. That's just move on. That's the big thing. All right. So I bring that up to you to give you a sense of what it is. It's just regular, everyday stuff that the enemy uses against you. Perhaps there can be some actual spiritual warfare in the sense of demonic activities in other situations. But in those situations where one thing goes bad after another and you're involved, it's not necessarily a big demonic buildup, but more of a test. I think I passed some of it. You know, I hope. That's all I can say. Let me tell you that I am going to share today in a new way that I did one other time, and it really came about from, again, my wife. So, I mean, that part's a blessing. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 52, it says, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of God is like an owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." There are things that you and I have gone through that we use from our past that help us face the kingdom issues in our lives. There are also new things that God teaches us. And even though I wouldn't consider myself or many of us really real good teachers of the law, we are disciples in the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord will bring things out of your life, old and new. And just because the Lord teaches you an old lesson again doesn't mean you're a bad boy or girl. It's not like God's taking a newspaper, rolling it up, and smacking you on the nose and going, bad dog, bad dog. All right? Sometimes the Lord has to reinforce and teach again and do a multiple amount of teaching on a particular subject before it sinks deeper and deeper and deeper. Have you ever noticed that there are four gospels, and we were talking about this yesterday, and three of the gospels see the exact same, the synoptic gospels. That's why they're called synoptic, because they see the same. Do you think there's a reason why the Lord says it over and over and over again? Does it seem to you, and perhaps even to me, there's a reason why you go through the same kind of trial again and again and again? Sure there is. The reason is the Lord is trying to work it into us so it's a part of us so that we grow from it. And the things that you learn from the past are things you still need to pull up, and the new things you learn are still the things to pull up. I remember, I'm going to be very careful about this, I remember sitting in a church with this fantastic pastor, and the couple behind me, I knew the couple behind me, and they said, you know, I think I've heard that sermon about 4 years ago, is what the gentleman said. And I said, well, if you hung out with Jesus, you heard him repeat messages 100 times. Because there's an emphasis on us walking by faith and walking in love and being devoted to the kingdom and thinking eternally, because we need to hear it again and again and again and again. And it helps us. I mean, it helps me. Maybe it doesn't help everybody else the same way, but it helps me sometimes getting that repetitive lesson about being a person who walks in faith helps me to do a little better in faith. So if you're sitting there trying to figure out, well, why is it that God allows me to go through the patience trial again and again and again? I can't stand those. That's because you still haven't learned any patience. He's still teaching you the same exact thing, because surviving the trial is not the goal. Surviving the test is not the goal. And by the way, the Lord knows how you're going to do, but reinforcing and helping us grow and to be more Christ-like, that's the goal. So when we can face things and have the attitude that Jesus had, then we're starting to grow up a little. All right? A little bit. His big deal is that he didn't do all the internal things that you and I do. He said something interesting in John 14. He said, the enemy of the world is coming. He has nothing in me. There was no touch point for Satan to use against Jesus inside of him. I'd venture to say that's not as true for many of us. All right. So when we come back, we're going to, you know, take our break, as you know. And then I'm going to do our live read. And then I'm going to tell you about the holidays and so forth throughout our trivia. But we come back, we're going to look at something fascinating about what the Lord was teaching his disciples. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We'll be right back. Running and
running and running. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a whole hearty welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you, a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect Father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect Father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the Father's like. Now listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who reveals His will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have, I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Love that clip with James Robeson. Just a great, man of God. Love people like that, just devoted to the Lord. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, David Spoon Media. Let's talk about our sponsor who's going to be on the show tomorrow. By the way, we have more sponsors. We're in that ooh phase right now where everybody's going back and forth. Mr. Restore.
Come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Mr. Restore at MrRestore.com. Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke cleanup, wind and flood cleanup. There's a lot of wind going on right now. Sewage removal, other restoration services. They have advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated with the BBB. 50 years of restoration experience and thousands of happy customers. Mr. Restore is who you want to contact if you have any issues going on. I don't care if you're an individual, real estate, commercial property owner, whatever the case may be. If you need help, they can and will help you. They're doing so good, not just in the Dallas area, but now they're expanding out and they're going even into other states. They're doing so well. And so I'm just telling you now, if you have any problems, Clint will take care of you. Clint's going to be in studio tomorrow, spending an hour with us talking about his testimony, talking about the business, talking about the Adaptive Training Foundation for people that have cut limbs or wounded and are unable to move forward and they go through the serious training process of which we support. MrRestore.com. 877-631-7576. 877-631-7576. Let's do this. I'll throw out the first trivia question, see how people are doing today, and then I'll tell you some of the holidays, and we'll see how that goes from there. Here we go. Abraham had many children. He had two children that most people know about, and then he had other children that a lot of people are not aware of. Who was Abraham's firstborn? Firstborn child of Abe. 972-445-0770. For those that do not know, today is Chicken Soup for the Soul Day. I could use some. And in my family, chicken soup was like penicillin. That was the cure-all. In the Jewish household, chicken soup was the answer. Sick? Okay, make some matzo ball soup. Get some chicken soup. Whatever the case may be, boom. For those that want to know about this day in history, today in 1892, the first professional football player, Pudge Heffelfinger, the guy's name's Pudge. Heffelfinger paid $500 bonus, which in today's value, probably about 13, 14 grand for what it was. He actually was paid, the first football player ever to be professionally paid. I thought that was good. All right. Somebody's calling in on the answer. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Tom DeGroy.
Hello. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
All right, so here we go. You got Abraham. Now, Abraham had more children than most people think. So let me ask you this. We're looking for his firstborn. Who was the firstborn? Ishmael is correct. You are correct, sir. Excellent job. All right, so let me ask you this. Do you remember? So now his secondborn. You remember his secondborn? The child of promise.
yes, but my mind just went blank.
That's okay. It starts with an I. That's okay. Now watch this. Abraham blank.
Isaac.
That's it, my friend. That's what happens. You get put on the spot, and then it gets a little bit more difficult, right? And then Abraham also had other children because he took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And we find that in Genesis 25. And she had 6 other children. But we don't hear much about them because they're not in the big story. But good job on that. Good job on picking up Ishmael. That was the correct answer. You got it right.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. God bless you. All right, good job there. All right. See, there was other children, too. See, Abraham had other children? Yes. Well, what happened to those kids?
He sent them away. It's like, you guys go down there.
All right, so today also Chicken Soup for the Soul Day. Don't forget that. And then for those that are really interested in this, today, besides the first professional football player, is the first U.S. drive-in bank was started today, 1946. And then finally, not Al Gore. Was it Al Gore? No, it's not Al Gore. No, it's not him. Okay. Tim Berners-Lee published the first proposal for the World Wide Web on this day in 1990. Like, what? That was the guy that really was the architect. It's like, what? I thought it was Al Gore. You'd be wrong, Al Gore. All right, so let's get into the teaching. I want to go right to it and make sure, and then we'll do another trivia question. Going to be a little tougher on the next question around, so get ready. Here it is, John chapter 14, and this was in my devotions today, which is why it's so cool. Verse 12, the truth is, Jesus said, the truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. Anybody who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. I want to make some clarifications right off the bat. I am a Baptist. I'm a Baptist, Calminian, manifold millennialist. So anytime you want to have the theological discussion, it's okay by me. I'm good for that. But here's the reality check. In some of the Pentecostal circles, they will say, see, the scripture says I'm going to do even greater works than Jesus. Let us at least set the table correctly. If it's Pesach dinner, let's do it right. You're not going to do greater works in the capacity of the quality of the work of Jesus. You're going to do greater works in the aspect of the quantity. And you think, well, why would you say that? Because Jesus's ministry was 3.5 years. Or 3 years, depending on what side you want to jump on that fence. But let's say it's 3.5 years. So somebody who is a Christian for 50 years will have an opportunity to do a larger amount of work. And then somebody might say, but it says greater works, Dave. How do you know that that's not the quality of the work? And the answer is simple, because there is nothing bigger in all the universe than raising the dead. And Jesus did that 3 times in his ministry. So you're not going to do something that's greater than Jesus did because you can't do anything greater than raising the dead. It's obviously in context. It has to do with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we're going to continue the ministry of Jesus. But I want to make sure you understand something, that the works that you and I do, they're connected to the works that Jesus established. What we do miss is that Jesus said, hey, you're going to do the same stuff I'm doing. And when people say to you, well, you can't do that, Jesus did that, it's like, wait, what? I thought we're supposed to do, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I'm doing. So it's an interesting when a passage like this is kind of anti-Baptist, anti-Pentecostal at the same time. It's kind of funny because it's like, you're going to do the same works I've done. You're going to do even greater works. They're not going to be a better quality, but you're going to still do some really wild stuff. And it's like, guess what? That's in the book. But it's got to be done through the Holy Spirit. It's not you that does anything. And I'm pretty sure you guys know that. When you get through a trial, when you get through something, that's the Lord getting you through. Right? I mean, that's the biggest part of it, is that we know that in this connection with the Lord, He's the one that gets us through. You know, you have the Bible. It's phenomenal. It's one of the most amazing things is bibliology, looking at 66 books, 39 in the old, 27 in the new, spans 40 authors, spans thousands of years, has the same thread all the way through. Guess what? God wrote that in partnership with man, with his chosen vessels. He wrote that in a partnership. And it's the most powerful piece of literature ever created in all of mankind, period. Doesn't matter what those, you know, nutsy cuckoo people say on television. The only book in the entire world that there's more of that book than there are people. Well, what about the Chinese dictator? 4 billion. Nice try. You're off by 3 billion. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is everything's done in partnership with a God. And you don't, and with our God, you don't have to sit there and go, well, I can't do this. That's too big. It's him who's doing it through you. It's not too big for him. And for many people, they get afraid. Well, I can't be like Jesus. You know what? You're not going to be like Jesus, but you can be exactly who it is that God created you to be, designed you to be, and planned you to be, and work with God in a partnership, doing powerful things in the kingdom of God, if you make yourself available. So we have this little sound that we play, and it's our little kid sound. Let's go ahead and play that sound. It's a really important sound for us to understand. Ready? All right, here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
That's right, 10. And it takes you all of 10 seconds to wake up and say, Lord, I present myself. Use me. In Jesus' name, amen. And that is all you have to pray with your conscious mind to be aware that God could do miraculous things with you, through you, too. Whatever the case may be, he is going to bless you throughout the day if you will keep yourself aware and available just by being connected to him. And in that, you might get a chance to, I don't know, bless other people, see things. I don't know. I don't write the stuff. I just communicate it. I don't tell God how to do kingdom work. I'm just trying to follow it, as you should too. Our Father, who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said we should pray that. Don't tell me the kingdom doesn't work now. He told us how to pray, and that's the beginning part. That comes before our forgiveness. That becomes before our needs. That comes before our trials and our testings. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we should be asking for that and being a part of that and connected to that each and every day. It takes about 10 seconds to devote your day to the Lord. Doesn't seem like a ton. I don't know. Call me crazy. All right, we come back. I'm going to show you the most fascinating thing that I came across. I really like this stuff. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be right back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God for you and I. God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com. Update on the app. I will just tell you this because some people are wondering about the app. So I worked on the app last night and I submitted the application. Get it? App, application. And I pushed all these buttons. And apparently they're reviewing it, but I will tell you right now, I turned to my wife probably 10 times and said, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. Then I went, click. I have no idea what I'm doing. Click. I have no idea what I'm doing. Click. Apparently, if you do that enough times and click enough buttons, turns out you can get lucky. What do you think of that?
You didn't have to give him a credit card, did you?
No.
Okay, good.
Dear Mr. Spoon, we would like all the money you have. You know, you can have my $1.50 anytime you want it. Anyhow, you know, it was just so fun. And I kept turning to her going, this is beyond me. This is beyond me. That's my line when I can't figure stuff out. That's the line I share with her. Okay, here's our trivia question. Trick question. Hey, at least I'm telling you it's a trick question, right? Trick question. Here we go. How many of Jesus's sisters are named in the Bible? How many of Jesus's sisters are named in the Bible? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Yeah, that's a trick. Well, I'm telling you now it is, so you can know that ahead of time. All right, so while we're gearing to that, I'm going to read this next segment in John chapter 14. I'm going to tell you something real quick. So if you remember the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, they brought her to Jesus, and then the Bible says that Jesus kneeled down or stooped down and wrote in the ground. And so they were all there, and they were all yelling, and like, she was caught in the very act of adultery. She should, what should we do? The law says we should kill her. So there's Jesus. He's writing in the ground. It says that. He just says twice that he's been writing in the ground, writing in the dirt. And so there have been many great commentaries and many great men and women of God who have given their insight as to what Jesus was doing. He was writing forgiveness. He was writing no judgment. He was writing grace. He was writing the word mercy. I'm going to tell you, the scripture does not tell you what he was writing. So therefore, I propose that he was doodling. That's right. When we get back after this caller, I'm going to explain what I mean. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Bobby Avis.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Blessed in the Lord.
Blessed in the Lord. I love hearing that from you. It's always a good, encouraging thing to hear. All right, my friend. Now, you know it's a trick question, right? Because, you know, I went after that specifically for a reason. How many of Jesus' sisters are named in the Bible?
Well, none of them named in the Bible. I know Jude them named in the Bible, but their sister's name not in there.
That is correct, sir. You are right. They are, in fact, not named. In fact, when the brothers are named, and there's four of them that are named in the traditional Bible, I believe that to be accurate, then it says, and his sisters, plural, are with us. So we know there's more than one, but there is no name, nothing given to give us any identity. Did you kind of know that right away?
Yeah, because I had them read it before. You know, I know Jude and all them were named, but the sister wasn't named.
That's right. You are right on target, my friend. That is exactly correct. And way to get along with us and pick up that was a trick question. So good job on that one. You get it? If I had a merit badge, I'd send it to you. I just don't have one.
That's all right. Praise God.
All right. Good job, my brother.
Keep on being teaching and being led by the Holy Spirit.
I appreciate it, brother. God bless you.
Likewise.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Good answer. Good job. I love that. See, he picked up on that right away. Very sneaky. You think that's sneaky? Uh-huh. That's so sneaky. All right. Let's go back to Jesus. Remember when he was having the forgiveness, the discussion? Remember they caught the woman in the act of adultery? By the way, it is worth noting and has been preached on many times. They caught the woman in adultery and they brought her to Jesus. They didn't bring the man. What was that all about? He was in adultery too. Okay, anyhow, so they're saying Jesus wrote this and wrote this. I go with the presupposition he was doodling. Now, what that means is we don't know what he was writing. There's nothing to really know. But here's something I want you to get. I'm using that as a launchpad for what I'm about to tell you. We just had talked about the truth is anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. Now watch this. Verse 13. Going to blow your mind if you follow it. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. You think, what does that have to do with anything? Listen closely. Jesus said, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, when he says anything in his name, he does not mean a Lamborghini. Anything that is in the kingdom realm, anything that is in the realm of what he teaches, the whole structure of this chapter has to do with obedience to his commands in response to what he's been teaching. He says, ask me in my name, and I will do it because, those words right there, those are crucial. Because the work of the Son brings, B-R-I-N-G-S, perfect present tense. Not past, but present. The work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name and I will. Here, in fact, is a future tense. I will do it. What does that mean? It means for those of you that think that Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father and he's sitting in the chair next to the Father and he's got his legs over on one of the arms of the chair he's in and he's got a little piece of hay in his mouth and he's poking his teeth because he's not doing anything. You're thinking Jesus is up there resting until the Father says go and return. That is not what Jesus is doing at all. There's this mindset that Jesus is doing nothing, that he's at the right hand of the Father and just hanging and humming. Of course, if he is humming any kind of college thing, he would be like, but I'm just saying, people have this idea that Jesus, he's just sitting in the chair. He's got his legs over the thing. He's eating a piece of hay. He's like, hey, what's going on? Nice sunset, Dad. Jesus is not sitting there doing nothing. And in fact, this will blow you away. When you pray in Jesus' name and there is an answer to that prayer, just in case you did not know this, when you have an answered prayer in the name of Jesus, it brings glory to the Father. Listen to what he said. You can ask for anything in my name. I will do it because the work of the Son brings, perfect present tense, glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name and I will do it. And you're thinking, well, what do you mean? Are you telling me he's not just sitting there? No. The Son of God is not just sitting in the chair resting and doodling. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. The contemporary English version, I just want to use it because it's a cool one. He is forever able to save the people he leads to God because he always lives to speak to God for them. Good News Translation. Because he lives forever to plead with God for them. Jesus isn't up there doing nothing. He's up there supporting you. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Another version, pleading for us, interceding for us, making intercession for us, speaking to the Father for us. Jesus is up in heaven at the right hand of the Father on our behalf in his active ministry. I know people are like, no, the Holy Spirit's the one that's doing the ministry here on earth. Right you are. And Jesus is the one doing the ministry up there in heaven. On our behalf. Now you're starting to understand Ephesians when it talks about the heavenly blessings. Like, ooh, I get it. Right. And so the Son of Man, he's not up there going, do-do-do, I think I'll doodle today. He's in behalf of us, petitioning and talking to the Father, which I think is the coolest thing. Some people were like, you know, if you pray, you got to pray perfectly and say everything perfectly. You know, Jesus is interceding for you and the Holy Spirit's interceding for you. There must be a reason that they're doing it for us. Oh, I know what it is. We hardly ever know what to pray. Good. I need somebody helping me. I need help. I need help more than you would ever know. It's like, I need somebody to be on my side. I need somebody to take up for me. I need somebody to be in that cause. When we started the radio ministry here in Texas, that's what we prayed. I prayed that the Lord would put it on people's hearts to be a part of it and to connect to us and to support us. Why? I can't do this alone. And this Christian, the Christian walk, I can't do this without Christ. I can't do this without the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit here, and I need Jesus up in heaven on my behalf. Petitioning the Father. Just look at Hebrews 7:25. Just look at Romans 8:34. Just look at what Jesus says in this text in John 14. And now read it with that in mind. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. Like, yeah, I got Jesus. People go, I got Jesus on my side. Exactly. If you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, you do have Jesus. He is for you. He is interceding for you. It's the coolest thing ever. But yet, right in the same context, when we come back, you're going to find out that the Holy Spirit right there in the connection. It's just amazing stuff. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
A couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hand. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this. Millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really. Drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope. Federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave.
There's no...
I got nothing to say.
There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
You're here when I need you the most.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. LivingInHisGrip.com is the place where you can get some of the music from our show for free. Download the Hymn Project, H-Y-M-N. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website davidspoonmedia.com. I do have to make just a quick comment. If you were listening to the show about the drunken monkeys, they did discover that they cannot walk a straight line if they're drunk. Okay. Who would have thought, right? Okay, that's just one of those bizarre stories. We haven't done a lot of political stuff on the show thus far. Every once in a while I'll do something and get into it. That will change as the show grows. I'm just telling you. And my take is substantially different than a lot of people's takes. I understand what people say, but one kingdom. All right, let's do our next trivia question, give you a chance to respond. Now, again, this is not a trick question, but you have to be listening. Here it is. Name Jesus's hometown. I did not say name the town he was born in. Get that? Name his hometown. Okay? All right. Name Jesus's hometown. 972-445-0770. About to do a part that I just, oh, I love this stuff. I love this stuff. Absolutely, positively love it. Okay? All right. Let me carry on. So Jesus has just told everybody, look, I'm active on your behalf. You know, you're going to do great things. You're going to do great things. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on you. I'm going to be active in your behalf. And then he's going to go back to the Spirit and start talking about the Spirit. He picks it back up in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you do, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Oh, I guess everybody gets excited about different things. He will. Let's just listen to that. What he says. He says, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Now, this is before Jesus dies. This is before the glorification process and the Holy Spirit's poured out in large. And he's acknowledging to the disciples that the disciples, they are walking with the Spirit. Okay, there's not a denial there. Please don't forget that Jesus sent them on a couple of different mission tours, and they were praying for people, and people were getting saved, and people were getting healed, and people were seeing, and they were casting out demons. They didn't do that in their own strength. That was through the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's a substantial difference in the Holy Spirit being with somebody and being in somebody. And I want to share that with you right now. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit being in you and upon you. Now, there's a great theological debate as to when the Spirit connects. You know, is it a second blessing? And I'm not going to address that. I'll be glad to address that in the future. It's just not in this teach. Here's what I do want you to get. There is two major premises that Jesus is talking about. The Holy Spirit, the counselor, the one that leads into truth. And by the way, it's important for us to note, he leads into truth and then he reminds us of everything. So this is a pretty active relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is in them, speaking to the disciples, is with them and will be in them. And the Holy Spirit is with you and in you. And you think, well, what difference? Why is that terminology so split? Why are you know, kind of splitting hairs? It's super important. Because the Holy Spirit upon you, that's for ministry. But the Holy Spirit in you, that's for relationship and Christ-likeness. And people make this big deal. Well, theologically, when we're talking about pneumatology and connecting it to hamartiology and then soteriology, and there should be a whole nother one saying, shut up, eology, because the reality check is when the Holy Spirit is on you, that's ministry time. The Holy Spirit came upon this person and boom, stuff happened. The Holy Spirit comes upon people, you start witnessing. The Holy Spirit comes upon people, and Samson has the strength of a billion bears. The Holy Spirit comes upon somebody, casts the evil spirit out. But that's not the same thing as the Holy Spirit being in you. Holy Spirit being in you is even more intense, because that's God changing you to reflect Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit in you is where the character development and the communion and the connection and the understanding comes in. So there's a big difference between upon and in. And I think what we'll do is we'll sit on one end or the other. And the answer to that is wrong. We want both. You want the Holy Spirit in you, and you want the Holy Spirit upon you, so that the in you part and your communion with the Lord and your reflection of Jesus Christ is rock solid, and upon you so that the ministry work can be done. And you think, well, does he have to be in me to be upon me? No. Does he have to be upon me to be in me? No. Jesus is the one that makes the distinction. He says, because he lives, he's with you and he will be in you. He's the one that sets it up. I didn't make it up. Jesus split it. I didn't split it. But both are necessary. And that's why 2 Corinthians 13:14 talks about fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So you got to have both. No, you can't do one or the other. All right, hang on. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. How are you?
I'm almost healed.
Almost better, brother. I pray for you all the time, so I'm just glad to hear that you're kind of pulling it and it's kind of starting to come upward. All right. Now, you know what I did on this one, on the hometown issue and so on. So I'm asking not where Jesus was born, but what was Jesus' hometown?
Well, they call him a Nazarene, and it's from Nazareth.
That is correct. He is from Nazareth. So that differential would be somebody born somewhere in the realm of the state of Pennsylvania, but he grew up in Philly. He's a Philly boy. I mean, that would be the way you would think of it. He's a Nazarene boy. Now, what's funny about that, now I know you'll remember this when I jog your memory on this. Remember, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Remember that line? Nazareth was not exactly Bel Air. It was kind of like the, I don't want to say it was the Bronx because my mom was born in the Bronx. It was kind of like 10 Mile and Greenfield in Detroit. It's kind of like, yee, anything good come out of there? Yee, not much, you know, kind of attitude. So he came out of the real dark place. But that was 100% correct. His hometown, Nazareth. Great job, my brother.
You're welcome, my friend.
All right, God bless you. Keep me posted. I want to make sure you're doing good, and then you and I need to still get together and talk about what we talked about before.
Yeah, we need to chat a little bit. I'll eventually get catch up with you guys.
Okay, you got it, brother.
Yeah, appreciate you.
All right, God bless. All right, great job by Jerry. See, now that's really important for people to grasp the difference between where he's in, and tomorrow we'll be doing the where he's born kind of thing. So, but Jesus was a Nazareth boy, and remember, that's what Nathan goes, Nazareth! Anything good come out of Nazareth? That was an insult to Nazareth for those that didn't know. All right, let me just go back because I only have 2 minutes. I want to finish this up. So the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit on you, the Holy Spirit working in you to create the character that reflects Jesus Christ, of which you grow in glory by glory, 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. It's step by step. It's inch by inch that you develop and grow into a Christ-likeness. It's not a snap of the finger. It's a process. It's a process. But the Holy Spirit can come upon you for ministry at any time to help you understand the differential. The Holy Spirit comes upon people and they speak and they do things, even if they're not connected, like Caiaphas did when he gave the prophecy. It wasn't the Holy Spirit on him. It was because of the office he was in. And then the Holy Spirit came upon him and he said, don't you know it's better for one person to die for the nation than the whole nation to suffer? It's like that was the Holy Spirit on. And you and I, we want both. I want to be involved in ministry, and I want to be closer to the Lord. I want more of him. I haven't figured out how to add in the less of me part, but I definitely want more of him. And that requires me to be more yielded and me to be more sensitive. How do you know what tomorrow is going to be? God didn't tell you. But maybe if you do the day with him, he'll show you. Maybe you'll just get to be a partner with God throughout the day, and he'll bless you, and he'll use you, and maybe he'll just fellowship with you. Are either of those bad? No. They're great, man. Awesome. Why? Because God is awesome. It's everybody else that's kind of fishy. That's my comment. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.